My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Joining us now from our sister station, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app if you're not in the Baltimore area this Sunday or ever bumping around, is the co-host of the Vinny and Haney Show and from 10 to 2, and he's the former general manager of the Washington Redskins. You might remember the name, Vinny Serrato, and he's with us here on the Team 980. Vinny, it's Chris Russell here, Linnell Willingham over there. How are you?
Vinny,
thanks for doing this.
Go on, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. So you've been at this for a while on the radio side. Yep. I think you were the GM here my first year on the beat, and I've caused a lot of hell around here, Vinny. And I've seen a lot of bad football. Just before we get into the matchup, like, are you still having fun with the radio thing? Like, do you still love it? I mean, do you still miss the NFL? Like, how do you kind of approach that whole part of your life as it's evolved?
Well, the thing about it is I go out to the Ravens, all the OTAs, mini camps, training camps. I go to practice, you know, do the pregame for the Ravens and stuff. So, yeah, I get all my NFL, and my one son is, you know, a hockey player, so I travel around a lot. He plays at Penn State, and they played their last week in Alaska, and I'm going up to Quinnipiac on Saturday. They nice. Play up there, so... Yeah, so I'm spending a lot of time hockey-wise, you know, is what I'm doing a lot now.
Enjoying life away sometimes from the grind of the NFL, which you know, and also helps to cover a stable franchise.
It definitely had a changing of the guard, so to speak, going from Washington and then working up in Baltimore, whether it's on the radio side or not.
Like a lot of guys, like Chris Horton. Chris Horton was a former Redskin, you know.
He was a dog, really.
Yep, and then you know, well, Todd Monken was a GA at Notre Dame when I was coaching there. So,
right. Okay.
And then, I get along with all the coaches there.
You drafted Horton, right? I remember correctly.
Fifth round pick. Yeah. Fifth round pick out of UCLA, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like going over there because I like all the coaches, and Bisciotti's awesome. I like talking to Steve.
One of the absolute best. Vinny, me and Chris Russell, we're like the odd couple here on the Team 980. Chris is early 50s, just turned 50. I am 26. So I have not seen the prosperity of this franchise. And your time while here in Washington was, respectfully speaking, like, it was some of the most miserable years of my life as a fan. Do you understand, now that you are on the radio side of things, just how bad it was while you were here in D.C.? And I mean that in the most gracious and humble way possible. Obviously, we appreciate you giving us time, but just getting into the weeds of how your time went here.
Well, I mean, you make it sound like we didn't win a game. I mean, we won the NFC East in 99, and when Joe was there, we were pretty good too. So, you know, I don't think it was as dire as you're saying.
Well, forgive him, Vinny. Vinny. He's a little misguided.
2007, Vinny, was the first year I really watched and knew what I was talking about.
Exactly.
I'm 26.
Exactly. I mean, you did have some success here, and obviously
I'm not trying to take any credit away, obviously.
Everybody knows your hands were tied, obviously, with Dan Snyder. We'll just move on, you know, from all that because, you know, I mean, obviously, I think it's been proven nobody could win under Dan Snyder, so period. Whether it be head coach, whether it be, you know, general manager, whatever it might be. I mean, it just was the way it was. But you said, you mentioned you love Steve Bisciotti. I think you would probably like Josh Harris, the new owner of the Commanders here. What is it about Bisciotti, not from a relationship standpoint, Vinny, but from a leadership, from an organization, from the top of the pyramid standpoint, that allows everybody there to be what they are and to be so successful?
Oh, that was what was similar about San Fran when I was at the Niners, is everybody got to do their job, and nobody Nobody tried to do anybody else's job. So whatever, like in San Fran, I was in charge of all the personnel. So nobody interfered with me doing all the personnel decisions and stuff. And I think, you know, and I think Harbs gets to coach the football team. You know, Eric gets to run the football team. So I think that's the thing. And I think that's why, and you look at the other thing is with them is stability. I mean, Harb's been there, what, like 16 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I think that's a big thing about it. And Steve's not in the office that much. Steve's not around that much. I mean, he may talk to him on the phone, but he's not in there all the time, you know, wondering what's going on all day long.
Doesn't always work that way, does it, Vinny?
I'm about to say, yeah.
It does not.
No, it does not. Oh, we were talking in about the matchup coming up Sunday before we brought you on, Vinny, and I was getting on Chris. I think one of the laziest narratives out there right now in pro sports is that Baltimore's quarterback, Lamar Jackson, can't win from within the pocket. Not only do I think he can win from within the pocket, I think he's one of the best throwers of the football in the NFL. Getting to cover him on a day-to-day basis, how are the vibes like up there in Baltimore in terms of the fan base and how they feel about, you know, his performance here and how they haven't been able to kind of get over the hump, so to speak, since he's been in town?
Well, they won in the regular season. Then last year they made it to the AFC Championship game. And that's the last thing Lamar has to do. He's won two MVPs, and he's on pace right now again, you know, to win another one. That's how he's playing. So the big thing with Lamar is, what do you do in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's the big thing with Lamar, and that's the thing that he's got to overcome is winning in the playoffs. He does that. If he goes and wins a Super Bowl, he's done everything that you can do.
You're talking about him as one of the all-time greats. That's
I want to be clear. Like, I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's an unbelievable athlete. I don't think he's a bad passer by any means, a bad passer from the pocket. But I guess what I wonder about, and I'd be really curious to see your response and hear, is he, like, dramatically a better passer in the pocket now with Todd Monken and with experience, or has it been a marginal improvement? How, when you assess from a scouting perspective, a team is somehow able to hem him in, right, which every team tries to do and very unsuccessful, can he carve you up consistently and a lot of the time from the pocket, or is it just some of the time?
No. Well, the thing about it is, Chris, like, when I went to rookie minicamp the year he was drafted, I remember telling Marty Morningen, who is the quarterback coach, or coordinator, watching Lamar throw, I said, whoa, got a ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he struggled from the pocket at that time. But, you know, he is much improved, and he is very good. I mean, he's improved a ton from last year to this year, in year two of Todd's offense. And he's he is the conductor of the offense now. So he'll beat you from the pocket. I mean, and, you know, watching the Redskins or watching Washington's film, they don't rush the passer very well unless they're blitzing or whatever. And if they're going to help Lamar throw from the pocket, he's got a lot of guys that'll catch it. All you got to do is kind of watch last week's game.
He's got three tight ends. He's got two pretty good receivers. I mean, he's got receivers out of the backfield. We all know that. I guess it's interesting to hear you say that he's made a big jump just from last year, because I did think, Vinny, and correct me if I'm wrong, I did think in year one of Monken's system, he was the best passer, pure passer, that I had seen in his career. Like, I always knew he was really good inside the red zone, carving people up, and I thought, maybe wrongly, that it was because people were petrified of his legs and his ability to break you down that way, and so I saw a big improvement last year, but then I was left with kind of a bad taste in my mouth in that AFC Championship game, granted against Spags and a really good defense.
Yeah,
I mean, he did not have a good game last year. But if Zay Flowers doesn't fumble, they probably win.
Good point.
You know, on that one.
Good point.
So, but the thing about it is he is a lot better, and he's lost like 10 pounds. So, you know, I mean, I think what he did in that Kansas City game, he saw himself and he saw himself get caught. I need to get quicker and faster, and he is quicker and faster. But he is throwing the ball well, because I've seen him, you know, every year that he's been there, OTAs, minicamp, all that stuff, and he has gotten so much better. And he's so much more confident in his throwing ability too, I believe, just from watching him throw and the throws that he'll attempt to make.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I think each year, you know, he's continued to evolve as a passer. Their defense, though, Todd, Vinny, has been one of the things that has kind of, you know, I've been taken aback by. Obviously, you lose Mike McDonald to Seattle. I mean, last year they were historically one of the best defenses ever. There is a huge discrepancy right now between their pass defense and their run defense. As someone that watches every game in detail, is that a result of them jumping out on teams and teams not really being able to run the ball? Or do they look at their pass defense and say, hey, this is the way that you beat this group?
No, their defensive line is stout. I mean, Matabike and Travis Jones, they're playing awesome up front. So they're hard, and Roquan Smith, I mean, they're hard to run against. The secondary, it's the same people. Exact same people back there that were there last year. Way too many communication mistakes, and they're not playing the same way they played last year. I think that's why Dean Pease is in here to help. And, Chris, you may remember, I told Harbs, you know, in 1999, we were first in offense, Redskins, 32nd in defense, and brought in Bill Arnsberger to help Mike Nolan, who was also friends with Mike, help run the defense, and we won the NFC East that year and won a playoff game and should have won a second one if our field goal kicker didn't miss a 40-some yard kick at Tampa. You know, so I think Dean Pease will help them a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. And we mentioned that yesterday, Vinny, and I thought that was a key move, as obviously you just alluded to. But specific to the secondary, you mentioned communication problems. Is that a little unusual in your mind, even though they switched coordinators, right, and lost McDonald and lost some other pieces? Is that a little bit unusual that they're having all of these communication issues, or is that more common in the NFL than we even think it is?
To me, week five, no, that's not normal because you haven't corrected them yet. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be having the issues when they shift or move a little bit, you know, and then you got to communicate back and forth. And against Buffalo, the Buffalo, they played their best game. And the only mistake they made was, you know, on a scramble by Josh Allen, he one of the DBs came up instead of staying back on Shakir, and he caught a deep 52-yard pass for a touchdown. You know, so I think they'll be practicing that type stuff a lot this week of, you know, when a quarterback scrambles, how to cover your receiver.
No, guess what? The quarterback scrambles around here, as you know, Vinny, so they're going to have some issues. Just real quickly on that, sorry to jump in, Lena. What do you think of, from your perch, what Cliff Kingsbury has done? I mean, obviously the success is there, but from a schematic, from a design, from a motion standpoint, as you were just kind of like, I love all the eye candy stuff, Vinny, that he unleashes. And I think it's designed by formation, not necessarily by motion. What do you think of the job that Cliff Kingsbury has been able to put together through five games so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Cliff has done and what has changed, what he's changed, he's running the ball a lot more than he did at Arizona, which, you know, and like when the Ravens were struggling early on, I mean, the O-line was sucked in the first two games. You know, I mean, they were bad.
Right.
And those were the question marks going in. And how do you fix a bad O-line, or how do you help an O-line? You run the football. So, and you throw the ball quickly. And I see, you know, that Cliff's trying to run the football a bunch. I mean, they don't knock people off the ball very well, that offensive line. You know, and he throws the ball quick to get the ball in space to let his receivers get a lot of yak yards. So, I mean, to me, he's you know, playing into – you got to let what your players do best, you know, and let them do what they do. To me, that's good coaching. You know, he's got a running back, Robinson, that runs hard. You know, and he's got an outstanding player in McLaurin. Get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then how do I get these other guys involved, and how do I protect my quarterback where he's not going to get killed?
Yeah, I agree. I think in preparation for both of these teams, we've been saying it. I think they each have a little bit of an advantage because they're both two teams that, you know, get to defend a mobile quarterback each and every day in practice. So I'm excited to see the matchup. You mentioned Baltimore's offensive line. You replace 3/5 of your starters up front. That's a lot of continuity that you lose. Yes, they have improved, But do you have concerns about a specific spot along that offensive line here moving forward when you look at this matchup?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In particular.
Well, I think Ronnie Stanley is playing really good at left tackle. And Pat McCary moved over to left guard. He's been playing good. Linderbaum's an all-pro center.
Yep.
And then the guy that's improved a ton is Daniel Falele,
yes,
who at the beginning of the year was horrible, horrible.
Yes, I know that was the narrative.
And he's improved a lot. You know, I mean, I don't know if it was he lost weight or the lights switched on, you know, but he's playing good football right now, and he's not on the ground as much, and he's coming off knocking people, and he's comboing up, and he's pulling and blocking guys better. So, I mean, he's doing well. And Roger Rosengarten, he's okay. You know, he's talented. He's young. He's a year away from being physically ready to play consistently good football in the NFL. But he's a real good athletic player.
Yeah.
And he's much better in the run stuff than he is in the pass. He has some trouble with power in the run or passing stuff. But I think, watching Washington's film, I didn't see any, like, elite rusher. The best rusher they have, my opinion, is number four, the inside linebacker.
Frankie Louvre, Dorrance Armstrong at that left defensive end, who's going to probably see a lot of Rosengarten, has really been coming on the last 3 weeks. But you're right, Louvre jumps out all over the place. I mean, whether it's, you know, setting the edge on that fourth down early last week on that little flip toss, or, again, and Bobby Wagner's been blitzing a lot too, Vinny, especially on third down, something we talked about yesterday. But you're right on. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to That's actually a good question. Like, to me, if you're going to get killed is a strong word. If you're going to get hurt by Lamar and or Derrick Henry, do you, if you're Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, do you go in with a super aggressive mindset? We're going to blitz the snot out of these guys, run blitz, try and hem them in and take our chances that way? Or do you kind of play a little bit back off, maybe a little spy coverage so that you kind of make them go 8-9 plays? Philosophy wise, how would you go about it?
Well, I thought the Bengals had an excellent plan. You know, I mean, they were going to take away Henry and they had like 8 guys up, and then they were trying to confuse Lamar, you know, whether they're coming, not coming and all, but he killed him in the pass game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they struggled running, but then, you know, he threw, what, 4 touchdown passes and over 300 yards. And then at the end, you know, when they're kind of worn down, then they ran the ball.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, they're the number one offense in the league and they can do both. And Lamar causes you a lot, and they, like you guys were talking, they got 3 tight ends, they got 3 receivers, they got a bunch of guys that can catch the ball, so they're difficult to handle. And I mean, Washington's giving up 5.1 per rush, so that's going to be difficult. And they give up a quarterback rating of like 115.
They have gotten better the last couple of weeks, is what I would say.
Watson's the worst quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. I'm about to say, man.
I mean, he was running in the sack. Sack me, sack me. And some of the throws that he was making, it was like, who are you throwing it to?
Yeah, no, that's true. Make sure you listen to our guest, Vinny Serrato, with Bob Haney, weekdays 10 to 2 on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on the Odyssey app. What did you want to say?
I wanted to get one more in. Vinny, I feel like we have you in a more bubbly mood now. I hope I didn't offend
you
with my question earlier.
Well, you're trying to sabotage the interview right away.
I'm being real,
right
brother.
Away.
Look, Vinny, I was going to ask you this because people are tweeting at me like a madman. Can in full transparency, if you don't mind, one decision that was made here while you were in Washington that made you want to bang your head against the wall?
When we were in the draft and we had a second round pick, and Dan, he said to me, he said, who are you going to take? I said, I'm taking Jamaal Charles. He said, why? I said, Dan, I said, if a DB steps the wrong way, it's a touchdown.
Mm.
He said, well, think about it. I said, okay. And he came back a few minutes later. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take Jamal Charles. Then when we got on the clock, he says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take Jamal Charles. He said, no, you're not.
What?
Taking a wide receiver.
So that was Devin Thomas, Malcolm Kelly, and Fred Davis second trifecta in the second round, right?
Yep.
So you wanted to take Jamal Charles. You were ready to do that on the clock, and he overruled you.
Yep.
Like, he, like how much damn tape did his ass watch? Vinny, you're a better man than me. I would have knocked him out.
And that's tough because, you know, it's hard to build an organization. I mean, it's hard enough to get these calls right if you have a conviction about a guy,
right.
As you know, Vinny, right? I mean, there's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ways you can view tape. It's really hard to get it right if you have a conviction about a guy, never mind if you have somebody who's not watching the tape, who's not in the meetings, who's not on boots on the ground, basically stepping in and, as Jay Gruden once said, coming off the yacht and overruling you.
Coming off the yacht.
Yep. Lou Holtz always used to say, coaches coach, players play, administrators administrate.
There you go.
There you go. Appreciate you, man.
Well, Vinny, appreciate you. Thanks for doing this. I know you just did 4 hours of radio, so sorry to keep you a little bit long, but great to catch up with you. And we'll be listening, of course, Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, on the Odyssey app, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. I appreciate you, okay?
Thanks,
Vinny. All right,
Vinny.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. That is Vinny Serrato. Good spot with him. Appreciate him.
Look, glad he didn't jump through the phone and kick my ass.
I thought he was about to.
Look, I told you. There's no gloves ready.
I understand what you were trying to do. I always say this. There's different ways to ask hard questions.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.